I'm going to hand over to Janet, who's going to come and talk to us. I'm just going to pray for her now, and then she'll come on and lead us on. Heavenly Father, thank you for Janet. Thank you for the word that you have placed on her heart to share this morning. We ask that you would bless her as she comes to speak now. Would you give her clarity of thought? Would you give her a confidence of speech as she shares your word with us? And for ourselves, Father, would you open our ears, would you open our hearts to what it is that you want to say to us this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thanks, Julia. Well, hello, everyone. It's wonderful to see you today, except I can't see you. I'd just like to say a big welcome to anyone watching in Bristol or across Britain or even further afield than that. My name's Janet. I'm one of the clergy here at Christ Church, and it's my privilege to bring you the next in our exciting story of Acts. We're looking at chapters 21 to 23 today. We started by talking about close shaves this morning before the gathering began. Have you ever had a close shave? And I was reflecting back over my life. I think the most exotic story is when I was 22. I was living in Kenya at the time. I was working there. And I went for a row, as you do, on Lake Naivasha, which is one of the lakes in the Rift Valley there, with some friends. And we were rowing across this lake when suddenly the boat capsized. We all fell into the water. We weren't too far from the shore, but there was one or two people with us who couldn't swim. So we sort of helped them and we slowly waded through the water towards the lake shore. And then I slipped and my foot went right down into a deep trench underneath the lake. And the guide who was with us said casually, "Oh, don't worry about that. That's a hippo trench. That's the path where the hippos come up at night to feed." Now, you need to know the hippo is one of the most deadly animals in Africa, that it manages to bite in half an awful lot of people. That was a close shave. I, like others, have had a car accident when, at low speed, I hit somebody and my airbags came on. That was a close shave. My other exotic story is when I was in Brazil on the beach at Copacabana, as you do, and I turned my back for 1 minute and there was a freak wave, and this wave came up from behind and threw me down on the beach, and I ended up injuring my knee quite badly. We've all had those various close shaves. It happened to St. Paul 4 times just in these 3 chapters, those really close shaves when you think what might have happened. So let's now look at the context of what is going on in Acts 21. We start naturally with a map. Paul is on his way back to Jerusalem. Paul has been on his 3rd missionary journey, and Paul has been in Greece. He's been in Macedonia, Achaia, he's crossed over, he's been in Asia Minor, in Ephesus, Miletus, Troas, Kos, Rhodes, all the way, and now, finally, he's in Jerusalem. And you know, one of the reasons he is going back to Jerusalem was to take a gift of money. The early church was scattered, a bit like we're scattered now. And the Christians in Jerusalem were poor, and so it was suggested that some of their scattered counterparts, the other Christians, could help raise money, which they willingly did from places like Macedonia. And Paul took this money and brought it back to the Christians in Jerusalem. Such a lovely picture of how, even when the church is scattered, we can help each other in really practical ways. So Paul is dead set on Jerusalem. It says earlier on in Acts, he was led by the Holy Spirit. He was bound by the Spirit. He resolved in the Spirit to go to Jerusalem and then on to Rome to continue to preach the gospel. So last week, Catherine had us in Miletus on the map, on the coast, where Paul was speaking with the Ephesian elders, and Paul encouraged them to keep on running. And she talked to us about running the race, completing the race, keeping your first love. And may I encourage you, if you didn't hear Catherine last week, to listen to that talk online. So Paul, these four close shaves in Jerusalem. The year is about 57 AD, and we come now to Acts 21, verse 30. Paul has arrived in Jerusalem, and off he goes to the temple. So let's read from Acts 21, verse 30. The whole city was aroused, and the people came running from all directions. Seizing Paul, they dragged him from the temple, and immediately the gates were shut. While they were trying to kill him, news reached the commander of the Roman troops that the whole city of Jerusalem was in uproar. He at once took some officers and soldiers and ran down to the crowd. When the rioters saw the commander and his soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. There are some people who just attract trouble, aren't there? Wherever they go, they manage to cause havoc. And Paul, I feel, was one of those. We've already had him in jail. There have already been riots and beatings and arrests. Here he is. You would have thought he was safe in the temple. But the mob mistook. They thought he'd brought a Gentile with him into the place just reserved for Jews. And so there was a riot. But God is sovereign. God is sovereign. Just in the northwest corner of the temple, there was a fortress, a Roman fortress called the Temple of Antonia. And from the top of that fortress was a lookout over the courtyard below. And the Romans saw this riot, and it says they dashed down those two flights of stairs and they rescued Paul. That was a close shave. They managed to rescue him from the mob that wanted to tear him apart. God is sovereign. He is in control. And God uses our gifts, our circumstances, even the languages we speak. So Paul then speaks in this very good, educated, stylish Greek. And so the commander of the troops stops and listens to him and lets him address the crowd. Then we're told Paul turns to the vernacular language, to Aramaic, and he tells his story. And this is one of the features of Acts, how Paul tells his story at least three times in chapters 9, 21, and 26 of Acts. Paul relates his testimony in detail. Do we have a testimony to share? Have we got our story ready to share with people? Part of our discipleship is being ready to share our story. This is how I was. This is how I met with Jesus. This is what he did for me. Paul had confidence in the gospel, but God is sovereign. So Paul starts his story by saying what a good Jew he was. He said, I was such a strict Jew. I was brought up a Jew as a Pharisee. I studied under Gamaliel. I persecuted the Christians. And then I had this blinding, direct revelation from God on the road to Damascus. And the crowd listened to Paul tell his story until he says one thing that inflames them. Acts 22, verse 21. Paul finishes by saying, then the Lord said to me, go, I will send you far away to the Gentiles. The crowds listened to Paul until he said this. Then they raised their voices and shouted, rid the earth of him. He's not fit to live. And that incendiary remark was when he talks about taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And the Jews were upset because they wanted him to make the Gentiles Jews first rather than to become Christians. And it was inflammatory speak. It's a bit like today when what often upsets people is not so much, well, you've got a faith, that's fine. It's when people talk about spreading that faith to others, talk about taking that faith to others and converting someone. In many countries around the world, it's actually illegal to proselytize. That means to evangelize. There are actually laws against conversion. This was incendiary to the mob. And so they rose up and they wanted to lynch him. It reminds me so much of Jesus going to Jerusalem, those false witnesses, the mob rule, the get rid of him or crucify him. So many parallels. So we come now to the second close shave from death. The Romans have rescued Paul, but they take him inside to interrogate him. And they wanted to do that by flogging him. And so they stretch him out on a rack and they want to torture him to find out what the problem was. So we read on in verse 23. As they were shouting and throwing off their cloaks and flinging dust into the air, the commander ordered that Paul be taken into the barracks. He directed that he be flogged and interrogated in order to find out why were the people shouting at him like this. As they stretched him out to flog him, Paul said to the centurion standing there, "Is it legal for you to flog a Roman citizen who hasn't even been found guilty?" This flog or scourge, as you see, was a really horrible instrument of torture. They had bits of metal and bits of bone in each of those thongs. And as it could whip somebody, you could very, very easily die from it. This is where the next close shave comes in. He is rescued. It was illegal to flog a Roman citizen. It was also illegal to claim to be a Roman citizen in order to escape punishment. You had to have a proper hearing first. And this is where God is sovereign. He uses the fact that Paul was a Roman citizen, and he was a Roman citizen by birth through his parents. He didn't just have acquired Roman citizenship like that Roman commander. I've been struck a lot this week about the importance of law, of how Paul uses their law to point out it's illegal to flog me. I haven't been found guilty. And I want to do a really big shout out this morning to the lawyers amongst you. It's so important to uphold the law, to protect people, to remind people this is the law in the country, to be an advocate. I'm really impressed by two particular charities that work to try and uphold the law, the IJM, the International Justice Ministry, and also Tear Fund, who have an advocacy program. And those charities are working to uphold the law. It is illegal in this country to enslave people or to torture people or to lock them up without trial, or it is illegal to cut down the forest. Whatever it is, uphold the law. God is sovereign. And so because of the law, they don't flog Paul to death. He escapes. Another close shave. The next close shave happens in Acts 23. They take Paul and put him in front of the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was the council of Jewish elders. And Paul looks them straight in the eye. It says in verse 1, Paul looked straight at the Sanhedrin and said, "My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty to God in all good conscience to this day." I like that. He looked them straight in the eye. His conscience was clear. What was the response? Verse 2, at this, the high priest Ananias ordered those standing near to strike him on the mouth. Does that remind you of Jesus? They slapped Jesus as well. Then Paul gets around to mentioning the resurrection of the dead. And again in Acts, time and time again, Paul preaches the resurrection of the dead. And that was a source of argument between the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so these Jewish elders, these supposedly holy, Jewish, upright, older people, it says in verse 10, the dispute became so violent, the commander was afraid Paul would be torn to pieces by them. So he ordered the troops to go down and take him away from them by force and bring him into the barracks. Another close shave. God is sovereign. He protects Paul from the Sanhedrin. God uses the Roman army, and he rescues Paul from a really violent bust-up. But that's not the last one. There's another close shave to come. Now, how do you think Paul is feeling? For the last 2 or 3 days in Jerusalem, he's had a really close shave 3 times. He's faced violence. He's faced opposition. He's faced hatred and threats of death. He still hasn't got to Rome. I think one of the key verses from these 3 chapters is Acts 22, verse 21. Let's read it together. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage. As you have testified about me in Jerusalem, so you must also testify in Rome." We'll see the slide come up now of that verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood near Paul and said, "Take courage, take courage." Paul had faced all that enmity and violence. Am I ever going to get to Rome? That's where I think the Spirit is leading me. And the Lord appears to Paul. He stands near to him. We're already told in Acts that Paul has already met with Jesus at his conversion in Acts 9. And then when he visited Jerusalem after Ananias had prayed for him. And then again, the Lord stands near him in Corinth in chapter 18. And now again, the Lord stands near him while he's in the barracks. What comfort. Take courage. Take courage. Keep going. You will get to Rome. A promise from Jesus to Paul. You have testified about me in Jerusalem, and you will do so in Rome. The Lord reassures Paul about his future. He's saying, "You're not going to die here in Jerusalem. My plan is for you to reach Rome, to testify, to witness." But that word witness is the same in Greek as the word martyr. God doesn't promise that he's never going to die. He promises that he will reach Rome. God is sovereign. Sometimes when it's dark, when we've had a really awful few days or even longer, God speaks. He sends help. He says to you today, take courage. Have you ever had that experience when God appears to you? It might be in a vision, or it might be a word that somebody gives you, or a letter somebody sends you. It might be in a Bible reading where a verse just jumps out at you. God speaks to us. God is sovereign over events. And God says, take courage. And in the middle of this second lockdown, this pandemic, God says to us, take courage. Don't be afraid. There is yet another close shave to come, the fourth, the final miraculous escape from death. And we read on in Acts 23, verse 12. The next morning, some Jews formed a conspiracy and bound themselves with an oath not to eat or drink until they had killed Paul. More than 40 men were involved in this plot. There's a plot to ambush him, to find a false pretext, to get Paul to go back to the Sanhedrin, supposedly to answer yet more questions. And on the way, they're going to kill him. But this is where I get really excited about God being sovereign. God uses a little boy. I don't know if you knew that Paul had got a sister and Paul had got a nephew. We don't know his name, but he must have been quite young because we're told later on that the commander takes him by hand. So verse 16, when the son of Paul's sister heard of this plot, he went into the barracks and told Paul. Because Paul was a Roman citizen, he had visitation rights, if you like, when he was in prison. The family were able to visit him in prison and bring him food or things that he needed. And so Paul's nephew, this young boy, heard about the plot. He's able to come in and tell Paul. Paul is respected by the Romans, and so he calls the centurion, who then calls the commander, who then listens to what the boy has to say. If there are any children watching, can I just encourage you, children? God can use you. God can use children for his purposes. Children can hear things and see things and do things. God is in control. God is sovereign. And so God uses the fact that Paul's got a young nephew somewhere in Jerusalem to help him find out about the plot, and therefore the Romans are able yet again to rescue Paul. What happens is the Roman commander thinks it's just not safe to keep him here in Jerusalem. Let's get him out of this situation. And so the commander, who's got about 1,000 troops at his command as the tribune, actually uses 470, I make that almost half of his troops, to rescue Paul. And so he sends soldiers, he sends spearmen, people with spears, he sends the cavalry. And he helps Paul escape. And he takes Paul safely out of Jerusalem, overnight to Antipatris, and finally on the coast to Caesarea. And we have to finish with a map, don't we? Paul is then safely taken away from Jerusalem, back to the coast to Caesarea. He has survived Jerusalem. He's at the start of his journey, his final journey to Jerusalem. Caesarea is where Felix, who was the governor of Judea, lives. And next week we'll be finding what happens when Paul meets with Felix in Caesarea. So what have we had? We've had four close shaves in just three chapters, in just a very few days. But God is sovereign. Paul is kept safe. He's kept alive. Paul has that confidence in Jesus, that confidence in the gospel. He knows he's been called to testify to him in Jerusalem and also in Rome. He holds on to that promise. But Paul doesn't stay alive forever. Eventually he does get killed, but it doesn't happen until he's been in Rome for about 2 years. He does get to reach Rome because God is sovereign and God has saved Paul. Just a reminder that Christians, we still face sufferings along the way, but God is in control. We still suffer pain, but our times are in his hands. There's a psalm I've been meditating on all week, which is Psalm 31, and there's a verse from Psalm 31, verse 15, I want to finish with now. So let's look at this. My times are in your hands. Deliver me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. My times are in your hands. Have you ever heard reality show contestants say, it's my time? People say that, don't they? It's my time. But the reality is, my times are in God's hands. As I look back over my life personally, I can see that God is sovereign. God has used my past gifts. God has used my past experiences. He's helped me through those close shaves. In the same way, God used Paul. He used his background, his languages, his learning, his parents, his studying. God uses your hard times as well as the good times to his glory. For myself, I look back over the hard times of my life. I had a miscarriage, and I think, well, that has taught me certain things. I lost both my parents in just a 9-month period. And again, when things happen to you, God can turn that around and use it to his glory. So I feel a particular empathy now towards those who have been bereaved. If I hadn't experienced this current problem that I'm experiencing in my family, then that would not have happened. God is sovereign. He is in control. Our times are in his hands. So as I close, let's reflect on those difficult times that we go through. It might be the pandemic now. It might be those close shaves you had. Let's reflect on those times when we have seen God has been in control despite all the events going on. God is sovereign. Hold on to that. Let's reflect on when you were in just the right place at the right time. God is sovereign. So let's be led by the Spirit. Let's walk in his way. Let's obey God and serve him. Let's continue to share our story with others. Have confidence in Jesus and his gospel, for God is sovereign. I'm going to be quiet now, and then after that, Tom and Morag are going to come back and lead us in worship. So let's just reflect on those times in our life. Let's just reflect on the fact God is in control. He is sovereign. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, that you are in control of events. We thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that our times are in your hands. Help us to take courage. Your plans are still to prosper. You have not forgotten us. You are with us in the fire and the flood, faithful forever, perfect in love. You are sovereign over us.